the connection to the Parsha, I would say, is, I don't think, that tenuous. But what I'd like to say is that we have a lot of dealings in this week's Parsha between an employee and an employer, and schemings of back and forth, and who's going to have the upper hand, and who's going to outsmart the other one, with Yaakov and Lavan going back and forth, a complicated account of the rods and the water, and you could read that 50 times and still not get clarity in what's going on there. And there's a lot of wheeling and dealing going on in the Parsha. So I want to discuss one particular shaila of wheeling and dealing, and that is the employer allowed, if he suspects, on one account, he suspects that the employee is stealing, can he plant money to see if the employee will take the money and to find out if there's a robber in his business, to see if this person is actually stealing, or to find out who the robber is, or even on a more basic level, you have a new employee. Let's take what I think is probably perhaps in the minds of many people, which is you have a cleaning lady coming to work in the house, and you want to know, is the cleaning lady, is the worker working around the house, the paint or whatever it is, is this person going to be honest? Can I trust them? So the beginning of the job, the outset of the job, the test to make sure that this person is honest is you put some cash in a not-so-hidden area, a certain amount there, and you go to see if it's going to be there when you get back. Are they going to say that they, are they going to deny if they took it? And you want to test the employee. Such an action, okay, I'm not the first person to ask the question. It is a question of the Torah Lishma. The Torah Lishma in Siman Tav Zayin 407 asks whether a Baal HaBayis can test the worker by leaving money around and seeing if the worker is going to take the money. Now, before we get to the question, who is the Torah Lishma? That is also not an easy question. It is often assumed that it is the tshuvas of Rav Yosef Chaim of Baghdad, the author of the Ben Ish Chaim. And this is the statement of his grandson in the edition of the Torah Lishma. And he says, this is my grandfather's sefer. This is the writing that we found. And he explains, because in all the tshuvas of the Torah Lishma, the author signs his name Yechezkel Kachali. Yechezkel Kachali is the signed author in all the tshuvas of the Torah Lishma. And the grandson of the Ben Yishchai says that Yechezkel is Gematria Yosef, and Kachali is Gematria Chaim, so therefore it's Yosef Chaim. Why did he publish it in this way? He says, for whatever reasons, he had his reasons. However, there's a tshuva of Rav Avadya Yosef. In the Abia Omer, in Orachai V'chelek Tessim, in Sadi Vav, Rav Avadya Yosef tries to show, pretty convincingly, that it cannot be the Ben Ish Chai. And he brings a number of cases, there's contradiction between known psukim of the Ben Ish Chai and what's found in the Torah Lishma, and Rav Avadya Yosef thinks it's not the Ben Ish Chai. But the publisher and everybody else seems to think it is the Ben Ish Chai, so we'll refer to the Torah Lishma as Rav Yosef Chaim, the author of the Ben Ish Chai. And this is the question. He brings 4 to 5 reasons as to why it is usur to plant money to see if the person is going to be believed or the person is going to steal the money. And it all surrounds the issue of lifnei iver, that you cannot put a stumbling block before a blind man to give someone a position where they're certainly going to fail and do an avera. That is certainly against the Torah. He cites the Gemara here above in Moed Katan Daf Yed Zayinam and Aleph. Says the Gemara, Shivcha Shel Beis Rebbe. There was the maidservant in the house of Rebbe Yehuda Nasi. She put someone in cherem. She put a guy in nidui. How did that happen? She saw a man who was hitting his older son. And amr lahave havi gavra b'shamsa. She put him in cherem to cover mishum lifnei iver lo sitein mishol. Because she said, Rebbe's shifcha paskind. The maid paskind that this father was over on lifnei iver lo sitein michshol. Why? Because if you're going to hit the son, the tanya lifnei iver lo sitein michshol b'makel livno gadol hakasuv adaber. If you hit, if a parent hits a younger child, so that'll be the end of the story. We're not talking about nowadays. Certainly nowadays, the custom of hitting children has fallen out of favor in our generation. But we're talking about the case of back in the day. If you hit a younger child, so that's the end of the discussion. The punishment will be given out. But if you hit an older child, what's an older child going to do? It's going to hit the parent back. And then the child is going to have violated hitting a parent. And therefore, the parents are just setting up the child to fail. Lif ne'iver lo sitein mechshol. And they listened to her cherem for 3 years, says the Gemara. He says, this is a form of lif ne'iver. Meaning, even if you don't know for sure, the other person's going to sin, to set them up to sin with the possibility, says the Ben Ish Chai from this Gemara, is lifnei iver. The same thing here with putting out the money. If I put out the money, is it possible the person's going to steal? Yes. Is it possible they're not going to steal? Yes. But to set someone up with the possibility that they're going to do an Avera is Lifnei Iver, proof number one. Number two, we have a concept in the Torah of Chatzi Shir, right? We know that on Yom Kippur, you have to eat a Kikogera Sagasa, you have to eat a certain size volume in order to violate eating on Yom Kippur, or to violate any form of forbidden eating, right? We know in the Torah, in order to violate issues of eating, you have to eat a kezias, so let's say you eat half of a kezias, or something like that. So we know that Chatzi Shir is asur min haTorah. It's against the Torah even to eat half a kezias of pig, right? Even if you don't eat the whole thing, it's against where you eat half of it. Why? Because as the Gemara explains, it's chazi l'tzrufei, that if I eat this half of the pork, what's going to happen? I'm going to come to eat the second half of the pork. If I start with the first half, I'm only going to end up eating the second half, and therefore that's why even half is us, even though I haven't eaten a full shear, a full amount of what the Torah considers to be a halachic form of eating. And there what we see over here, again, even though there's only a possibility that you're going to have the piece of pork, the second half of the piece of pork, still it's usur. Again, says Rabbi Yosef Chaim, we see here from the Gemara, that to do something, to set up a possible isur later on, is against the Torah. That's number two. Number three is a Gemara in Bav Metzia, Ayin Hayim and Bey, says the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, Kol mi sheyesh lo mos, umalva osam belo, edim. If you lend money without witnesses, according to the Torah, or at least according to the Chazal, it is preferable, always best, to lend money with witnesses. Why? Because if you don't lend money with witnesses, then the borrower is going to claim that he doesn't owe you the money back, and then you're just going to be in trouble. You're going to have to go to Beis Din, you're going to have to take a Shvua, everyone's going to cause a lot of trouble. So says the Torah, say Chazal, when you lend money, witnesses, documentation, don't lend money without documentation. And says the Gemara, a person who lends without witnesses is only setting himself up for failure. He's going to cause somebody else to have to lie or to take a false shvua. It's just a recipe for disaster. What's the reason? V'lif ne'iver lo sitein michshol. Again, says the Ben Ish Chai, you're setting someone up for the possibility even before the Avera is in front of us. Just the possibility of a potential Avera, you have the issue of lif ne'iver.
So not only don't you get your money back, but you're also over lifting.
Exactly. Okay? So good advice from the Gemara.
Is documentation equivalent?
Nowadays, yeah. There's the Gemara says very clearly that when you lend money, you should always use an IOU. You should always write an IOU when you lend money. And there's a piece in the Aruch HaShulchan. The Aruch HaShulchan discusses how come the Midrash nowadays is that we're not so careful to lend money with an IOU. Even any amount. You lend someone $5, the halacha is you should lend with an IOU. The Aruch HaShulchan has a whole explanation about why nowadays is not the minhag, and what are the relevant issues of IOUs nowadays. Says the Gemara in Yevamos and Samach Tesam and Beis, Harei ze giteich sha'echas kodem lemisasi asur la'achol b'truma miyad. We know that the wife of a Kohen, who is not a Bas Kohen, meaning she was not the daughter of a Kohen, but she married into a femme kuna, is allowed to eat the foods designated for Kohanim. She can have truma and all these things that go along with being married to a Kohen, all the pluses that come along with the job. And what is the halacha, says the Gemara, if the Kohen says to his wife, this is your get, I'm giving you this get, and the get is going to come into effect an hour before I die. Meaning right now we're not divorced, but this is a conditional get. Meaning in case something should happen, it will be clear, you'll be in the free, you won't have to, you know, marry my brother-in-law in the case of Yibam, whatever the issue is, I'm going to set it up that I'm going to divorce you, and therefore you're going to be scot-free if I end up dying in circumstances that perhaps would put you in a situation that you might have to do Yibam or Chalitza. Okay? So what's the halacha in that case? The get is a good get. That's not the discussion in the Gemara. But what's the status of this woman? So says the Gemara, if the Kohen says, this is going to be your get an hour before any time I may die in the future, asura lechol truma biyad. We know the wife is going to eat truma. But at this point, when the Kohen gives her the get, she's not allowed to have truma anymore for as long as they're married, and even after they're married. She can't have truma anymore. Why? Because every possible moment is an opportunity where the husband who's a Kohen is going to drop dead. And therefore, we see that we assume already that there's a possibility of Isser, and this woman, what's going to happen? She's in the middle of eating a truma sandwich, and her husband's going to drop dead, and she's going to be in the middle of the bite, and she's going to be eating truma, and once the husband's dead, she can't have it anymore, she'll be over on Isurim. So because of the potential Isser of a non-Kohen eating truma, we say that even though they're still married, she can't have truma for the rest of her life, rest of her married time with this man. Again, says the Ben Ish Chai, says the Torah Lishma, once again, that even for the potential of Isser, we take into account, even though there's no Isser right in front of us. And he continues to say that it's a problem to leave the money or any item around with the impression that you're unaware of how much there is, so that that might lead the individual to think that he could take without being caught, no setting up anyone in order that the possibility that they might steal. And then he says, maybe I have a kunz. I'm a lamdusha balavas, so I'm going to come up with the following idea. I'm going to be mezake the money to the maid. Okay? I'm going to say, no, when she takes the money, there's not going to be any geneva, because really, I'm giving it to her as a matana already. And I just want to know if she's honest. So, she'll get $5 out of it if she steals, and I'll know she's not honest, and everyone's a winner. She didn't steal, she gets $5, and everyone's happy, and I'll go find a new maid. Says the Torah Lishma, no, totally unacceptable, and it doesn't work. And he explains as follows. He says that it still has a toras geneva. It's still considered geneva, even if the person didn't technically steal anything, but they thought they were stealing something. And he explains with the following Gemara in Kedushin. Says the Gemara in Kedushin, on Pei Aleph on base, we don't have it here on the sheet, but it says the following story. It says that Rav Chiya Bar Ashi would ask Hashem to save him from the Yetzer Hara, and his wife heard that he was asking Hashem to save him from the Yetzer Hara, and she was surprised that her husband still had perhaps this Yetzer Hara for women, and he was struggling with his desires for women because she had not been with him in a very long time, and he had separated from her a long time ago. So she wants to know, how come her husband is struggling with his Yetzer Hara so much when it comes to issues of women, and she and her husband haven't been together for a long time? So she dresses up like a harlot, and the town harlot, and he sees her, and he asks to sin with her, and she finds that, and he feels terrible that he went to this harlot, and he proposed to her to do inappropriate things. He goes home, he feels terrible, he wants to kill himself, and his wife comes to him and says, "Oh, no, it wasn't a harlot, it was me, surprise, you know, it was really me, you didn't do anything wrong, and it was just me the whole time, and you shouldn't feel bad." So he wasn't convinced by this, and he fasted the rest of his life, because he had a machshava, a thought, to do the wrong thing, and the Gemara goes on to say that even if the wife, if we know that when it comes to nedarim, that the husband is allowed to remove any nedarim that the wife makes, and the halacha is, says the Torah, says the Gemara, that if the wife makes a neder to do something and she goes to violate the neder, but in between the time she made the neder and by the time she violated the neder, the husband removed the neder without her knowing, still she's held responsible because she thought she was doing the wrong thing. She thought she was doing an Aveira, and Hashem will hold that person accountable. And Rabbi Akiva would cry when he heard these things, and he said, one who tries to do an Aveira, even they do an Aveira, they're punished. How much more so a person who wants to do an Aveira, and they do an Aveira, how much more terrible that person is before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And says the Ben Ish Chai, what do we see from here? That if you set the person up to steal, even though technically they're not taking anything that's not theirs, because you already gave them the money as a gift, and therefore there wasn't actually a real geneva, still it has a toras geneva, the status of like a partial stealing, and it's still a favor, and you still did something wrong. This is the shita of the Torah Lishma. This is cited the halach and the Pisei Choshen, the classic sefer on issues of Choshen Mishpat, the beginning of Geneva on page Dalid. He agrees with the Pesach of the Torah Lishma, and this is also the understanding of Rosh Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in the Mincha Shlomo and Chel Gimel and Siman Kufei at the very end. He says it is totally unacceptable to test the ne'amanus, the trustworthiness of your employee by setting them up to steal. Usser, usser, usser. This is Mahalach number one. The Mincha Shlomo in Lamed Beis also says the same thing regarding a woman who's alone with a man in a case of Yichud. And the woman knows that her husband is in town. We know there's a Hetzer of Baila Be'ir. If the husband is nearby, there's no Isser Yichud at that moment for the woman and another man. Does the woman have to tell the other man that he is alone with her and there's Baila Be'ir, the husband is in town? Meaning this man at this moment thinks that he's violating Yichud, and he knows he's violating Yichud, and he's with this woman. But is there really any Yichud Isser? No, because the husband's in town. So says Rosh Hashanah and Arbach, the same thing. You must tell the man in the room with the woman that the Baila Be'ir, the husband's in the city, because you can't put a person in a situation where they think they're doing Isurim. Again, approach number one, that it's Asur to do this. On the other hand, on the other extreme, we have Rav Ovadia Hadayah in the Yaskel Avin Chelek Zayin or Achaim Mem Dalad Zayin. And he says there's no problem. And he says your intent is not Lifnei Iver. Your intent is not for this person to be mashal, to stumble in the Isur of Geneva. Your intent is to do what? To test his honesty. I don't care if he steals. He doesn't steal. He does steal. Who cares? Again, I don't care about the $5. I just want to know if the person is honest. And therefore, since you don't care about the Geneva, it's fine. In addition, he says it's beneficial for the worker. I'm helping him out. Why? Because this person is a robber. He's dishonest. And I'm going to fire him. And if he's going to take the money, he's going to learn to correct his ways. He's going to do tshuva. I'm doing him a tova. I'm helping him out by having this guy try to steal the money that he thinks he's stealing. And everyone's a winner. Again, I get to hire a new worker. This guy gets to do tshuva, gets to repent from his evil ways, and everyone's happy. In addition, the Aselucha Rav and the Chelek Zayin, Ayin Aleph, agrees with the Psak, and he suggests to using the money, make the money hefker, like the Havamina of the Torah Lishma, do it but make the money hefker. And again, Rav Yechiel Yaakov Weinberg in the Sridi Yesh, in the Chelek Gimel, in Shuva Samach Alf, this is in the old printing, I don't know what it is in the new printing, but in the old printing, it's the third volume, and he says, we assume that every single Jew has a Cheskas Kashrus, every single Jew is going to do the right thing. And therefore, I don't assume the person's going to steal. When I set up that money for the worker to come and to see if they're going to be believed, of course he's not going to take it. I believe every single person is trustworthy, and it's not my intent in any way for the person to do any averos. Therefore, it's not going to be lifnei iver. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah, Daf Samach Gimel, Amar Alav says, Omer Adam l'chamarav, l'upa'olav, l'chuva achlu b'din arzeh. A person gives man to the man gives money to the workers and says, here's $10, go buy yourself some lunch. Do you have to assume the worker's going to go buy something that's usher to eat? No, it's not a problem. I don't think they're going to go buy Shemitah or thing that's Meiser or Stam Yayin or anything like that. Of course not. I assume the person has a Cheskas Kashrus. I assume my workers are doing the right thing, says the Sridi Yesh. And therefore we see from the Gemara, not a Shaila at all. The Ritva there in the Gemara says there's no Lifnei Iver when you present the person with something that is intrinsically mutter, but he might misuse it in the wrong way. $10 is mutter. There's nothing wrong with $10. Is this person might use the $10 in the wrong way? Maybe, but that's not my fault. That's not Lifnei Iver. If I put a pork sandwich in front of him, oh, okay, we have something to discuss. But to give someone $10, if he wants to buy a pork sandwich, or he wants to go and buy kosher food, so that's up to him. There's no Lifnei Iver, and therefore, the $5 I hide somewhere around the house to see if the maid's going to take, okay, $5 is $5. There's nothing us about $5. The item in itself is a chefza of hetzer, and therefore, there's no iser, says the Sridi Yesh. Again, continuing this mahalcha that is completely mutter, I came across an amazing vort from Rav Tuvia Goldstein in the name of Rav Elchanan Wasserman. This is in the Kovetz HaEmek, put out by Rav Tuvia Goldstein's yeshiva. I think it was called HaEmek Brach, I think, was yeshiva in Brooklyn, maybe to go around. So this is in the second volume on page 113. And they asked Rav Tuvia Goldstein the Shaila, can you put out money to see if the worker is going to be believed so that you'll be able to know you have an honest worker? And he says he heard the following shot from Rav Elchanan Wasserman. The Gemara in Yuma Pehe and the Gemara in Sanhedrin Ayin Beis say that if someone is Hababa Machteras, someone comes into your house at night to steal from you. So what's the halacha? You're allowed to defend your castle, so to speak, and you're allowed to kill the person. We assume that someone's coming to your house at night, is coming with intentions to take something from you, and we assume that you're going to stand up to protect your house, and therefore this person knows that you're going to come to protect your house, and therefore he's coming with the possibility to cause you harm if he can't get what he wants, and therefore this person is considered a rodev, so to speak, someone who has blood already on his hands, and you're allowed to kill him in order to defend your house. 100% mutter, says the Gemara. So, Rav Elchanan Wasserman asks on this Gemara, this whole concept, ah, lo samor adam reyacha. You're allowed to go, and a person is seemingly innocent, you're allowed to go, and the person's blood is standing idly there, and it's just to kill a person, and this person is going to, why don't we simply say that, oh, I prefer to give up my TV than to kill someone, right? Why isn't that the mindset? that it's preferable for me that the person will come and just rob my house blind than for me to put in a situation where I have to kill the person coming to my house. Isn't that so much more logical that I'd be much more happy to give up a couch or a few bucks or a lot of money or jewelry than to kill another person? This is the question Rav Chanan Wasserman has. So when there's a license to kill, so when it can be avoided, why are we giving a person a license to kill when it can be avoided? So says Rav Chanan Wasserman, amazing, amazing pshat. He said there's no issue of lo samod, of innocent blood at all. He said, gave the following mashal. He said, if someone goes on top of your house, okay, and he stands on top of the roof, a high, high house, very, very tall house, and the guy stands there and says, I'm going to jump off this house, and I'm going to fall to my death unless you give me $100. Right? You better give me $100, or I'm going to jump off this house. So, according to that reasoning, says Rav Chanan Wasserman, give him the money, right? Hand over the money, so the guy doesn't jump off the house. Says Rav Chanan Wasserman, no. Says Rav Chanan Wasserman, 100% incorrect. If the guy goes on top of the house and says, I'm going to jump off this house, or you're going to give me $100, what do you tell him? Jump! Have a great time. It's not my responsibility to stop someone from doing something foolish. So this person is going to go, and he's going to take money that's in the house to steal it. It's my responsibility to stop someone from doing something foolish? 100% not. This person is making a poor choice. It's not my responsibility to save someone from the avera of his poor choice. So, the person comes into my house to take my stuff? Poor choice. I'm allowed to kill him. Person goes on top of the roof to jump off? That's a poor choice. It's not my fault. A person comes and he wants to take $5 I left on the floor? A poor choice, says Rav Chanan Wasserman. And therefore, it is not your responsibility at all to go and save this person.
If you left money there, can you put money
there? So Rav Moshe has a tshuva in Yoridei Nechele Gimel Tzadi, where he says, in passing, totally in passing, he says, there's no problem at all with Ne'iver to knowingly leave out money with the possibility that it might be stolen. Now, he's not talking about planting money, but it's not with Ne'iver. You know, you come into the house and I throw my wallet on the kitchen counter, and then I go do what I have to do, and my wallet's sitting there, and there are other people, there are workers around the house. Is that with Ne'iver? Says Rav Moshe, no, it's a totally normal thing to do. I didn't do it purposefully. But to go and plant, Rav Moshe is not saying this, but according to everybody else, according to Rav Chanan Wasserman, according to Rav Tzvi Goldstein, according to Rav Yesh, according to all these other poskim, even to plant, okay, the person's making a poor choice. I didn't force him to make that poor choice. I just put money there. He's making the poor choice on his own. So we have two extremes. On one hand, we have the Torah Lishma saying it's 100% usser. On the other hand, we have the Sridi Yesh and other poskim saying it's 100% mutter. I want to present what I think is the correct approach, and it is somewhere in the middle. Okay? So this is from a sefer called Mishpatei HaTorah. This is in Chelek Aleph and Siman Ayin Ches. Tzvi Spitz is a tremendous posek in Choshen Mishpat in Eretz Yisrael, and he has beautiful svarim. And he cites the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed Beis Amal. Says the Gemara here, Durava bar Rav Huna, Durav Huna Karoi Shiroi Ba'anfei Rabba Berei. The famous, famous Gemara of the father wanting to see how his son would react under pressure, and he went and ripped expensive silk in front of his son to see if the son would get upset. Amar Izal Ichse Irasach, Ilo Rasach. I want to see if my son has a temper issue, so I'm going to take this very expensive silk and see how he reacts to it. I want to know how he reacts to what I do. Says the Gemara V'dilma Rasach V'ka'avar Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mitchol. Maybe you will rip the silk. Maybe he will get upset. And then he will violate Kibud Av'eim and be disrespectful towards the father. So says the Gemara, no, D'macha Leili Krei. So what did the father do? Before he ripped the silk, he was Mochel on Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Mitchol. On Kibud Av'eim. He said, yes, he's going to get angry at me. Yes, he might yell at me for ripping this expensive silk. But know what? I'm mochel on Kibud Av'eim. It's more important to me to find out about his midos, about him as a person, whether he's going to get angry or not. This is the Gemara. Tosus there in the Gemara says that Rav Huna must have told his son beforehand that he was going to be mochel. Why? Or else it wouldn't have worked, right? Meaning he must have told his son beforehand that he was going to be mochel. Why? Because if his son thinks he's violating Kibud Av'eim, as we already learned. So what did you accomplish? He must have told him that he says, by the way, son, before I rip the silk, I love you, and no matter what you do, I'm okay with it. And then he ripped the silk. That's Tosus's Mahalach in the Gemara. The Ritva argues and says, that's ridiculous. Because what's the point of the test then? He says, son, I love you very much. Whatever you do is fine. And then he rips the silk. So what kind of a test is that? The son knows that the father's trying to get underneath the skin. How is that going to work? So the Ritva says no. 100%, in this case, there's no issue of lifting ear for the sake of chinuch. For the sake of chinuch habanim. To know how the person's going to react, to test the person, to see how he is as a human being, there's no lifne iver. So says the Ritva, and says Ritzi Spitz, we see from here, to root, to see if a person is going to do the bad thing. So perhaps we see you are allowed to test them. But says the Mishpatei HaTorah, since it's a machlokes between Tosus and the Ritva, and it's a din d'oraisa, and it's a suffix d'oraisa, he says, I'm not prepared to allow anyone to put out money just for the sake of testing trustworthiness. I don't think that's enough. So he doesn't agree with the Matirim, but he thinks there is a place where you are allowed to test by putting out the money. He says that if you're going to test because you want to catch a thief, you think that the maid is stealing, you think the worker is being dishonest, in that case, you are allowed to test. This is the middle case. It's not totally mutter, it's not totally usser, but there is a case in the middle where you are allowed to test by putting out the money to see if they'll take, to weed out a rat, and to find someone who's doing the wrong thing. What is his proof? An amazing piece in the Maseches Derech Eretz and Perakei. Look at this. Maisa b'Rav Yehoshua, shehay achsanai etzla. There was a guest in the house of Yehoshua. Ba adam echa nasal lo achil v'shiv alil l'aliyah. So if Yeshua is a gracious host, he gave him something to eat, something to drink, and he gave him a place in the attic to sleep. Now in the olden days, the very olden days, the attic was got into by going up a ladder. You had to go up and down a ladder to get to the attic space for the guests. Natal sula mitachtav. Apparently, Rabbi Yeshua was a little unnerved about his guest, and he felt that perhaps he might do something dishonest. So in the middle of the night, what happened? He took the ladder away, while the guest was up there, and the guest didn't know that he took the ladder away. Ma asa adam zeh, what did the guest do? Amad b'chetzela, he got up in the middle of the night. Parash talisa v'natal sakelim v'krachim v'talisa b'kesh liyareh. He said, it's time to leave. He takes his bag, he takes all the stuff in the attic that he could find, he wraps up in the bag, and he's ready to go down to ladder, and he falls. V'nishbara b'mafra kaso, he breaks his bones. L'shachas bo Rav Yehoshua matzo. In the morning, Rav Yehoshua found him lying right there because he couldn't walk.
Screamed too much.
What? He was quiet. He held his pain well. He had a high tolerance for pain. And he wakes up in the morning and he finds his guest there, clearly with a bag of his stuff because he tried to rob him in the middle of the night. So we see from here that you can cause lifnei iver to catch a thief, even if you are in doubt about the thief. If you think there's a thief, says the Mishpatei HaTorah, you are allowed to go and use this type of means of lifnei iver to catch him. And I think this is the correct mahalach, the correct psak, because I think it's a good, it's a question of a din d'oraisa, and so in this case, to catch a thief, it would be permitted, but just to test the maid, I don't think would be enough, according to the post. And there's one more issue I want to discuss here, and this is the issue of the Gemara in Bava Kamma. Says the Gemara in Bava Kamma, Samach Tes Amar Aleph, Amar Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, V'madvar Mamurim, B'shvias B'hefker, Ninhu. So the case is that the owner of a vineyard has to mark his fruit, whether it's Revai or whether it's Orla, to let people know that these things are usher to eat at this time of the year. There's different types of foods depending on what cycle of the year they're in. However, says Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, no, it's not true. Aval b'shar shnei shavuah halitaini l'rasha v'yamos. He says, in the Shemitah years where everything is hefker, yes, you have to label everything because people are going to come and take your stuff. But if it's a non-Shemitah year and your stuff belongs to you and anyone who takes your stuff is stealing, so what is the rule? You don't have to label anything. Because if they're going to come and steal, so let them steal and also violate eating Shvias. And also violate eating Orla. What's the phrase? Halitehu l'rasha v'yamos. Force it down the Rasha's throat and let him die. If he's going to come to do an Avera with your stuff, so let him do two Averos. You don't have to stop a Rasha from doing more Averos. This is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. There's no mitzvah to prevent a Jew from doing other Averos. The Shach in Yeradeh and Kufnan Aleph in Sifkat and Vav explains that even though you have to warn a Jew from doing an Isser, if someone's going to do Isurim b'mezid on purpose, you don't have to stop them. There's no mitzvah to stop the person who's doing Averos on purpose. If the person's doing it by accident, certainly you should let him know. But if he's doing Averos on purpose, There's no inyan to stop this person. The Chazon Ish writes in Demai, in Simen Ches, in Sifkat and Tes, that every single person needs to view another Jew's property as if there is a sign on it that says, this is thievery, do not take. Whenever you view another Jew's property, you view it as if there's a big red sign saying, stop, don't take it. It would be stealing if you were to take this against my permission. And this is the view that we have to take when it comes to other people's property. And therefore, the owner has no obligation to take the trouble of informing him that you're violating a Nisr D'oraisa. And that would fit with our case as well. But the person is going to take your money that you lay out, so halitayu l'rasha v'yamos. He's going to steal it? Okay. He's going to steal it. You're going to have to stop someone from doing Yisuri D'oraisa on purpose. The Chavos Yoy writes in Simon Kuf Pehei and in Kuf Membeis that he doesn't really understand the rationale behind this, because if you see someone doing the wrong thing, you should have to help them out. And he writes very strikingly, he says, Umi shiyala arucha l'machla si bazeh rofe uma nikare. He says, anyone who finds a cure for my wounds of not understanding this Gemara, so this person is called a skilled doctor. He's waiting for someone to come and heal his broken heart of not understanding this Gemara. So Rav Yeruchim Fishel Perlau, in the Sefer HaMitzvos of Sadragon, in Chela Gimel on page 418, so he writes as follows. He says, V'hine yadana benafshe she'eneinu rofe. He says, I know in my heart that I'm not a doctor, but kol shekein rofe uman. And I'm certainly not an expert doctor. But he goes on to give a pshat. He doesn't think the question of the Chavasar is so strong. But this is something we have, that if a person comes to an Aveira, then it's not their fault. And what's the proof? The proof is from the story of Yeshua here in the Masechet Derech Eretz as well, that if someone's coming to do Aveira, so you have to stop them. Shlomo Zalman in that Shuva, in the Mincha Shlomo Chel Gimel, says that it's usher to set a trap to harm someone. You're allowed to set a trap to catch someone, but you can't set a trap to harm someone. And Rav Yeshua had no intention here that the person hurt himself. What did he think was going to happen? I'll move the ladder and the guy will stop and be stuck there and I'll catch him in the morning. It was never Rav Yeshua's intention to hurt someone. So says Rosh Hashanah Zalman Arbach, you're never allowed to set a trap to hurt another person. That is certainly not allowed, but to catch them is allowed. The Pisgei Tshuva writes in Yerodeim Reishon and Aleph that if you have a known thief is in danger, you have to save him if he's going to be hurt, and you have to make sure you don't hurt another Jew. But this is the idea. There was a Shiloh running around Bnei Brak a bunch of years ago, and a lot of people wrote about this in the different Torah journals. There was a robber who was very acrobatic, and he would climb up the clotheslines that went between the close houses. The houses were very close, and there were clotheslines going between the homes, and he would climb and jump from one clothesline to the next to get into people's homes. So what did people do? They loosened the top clothesline. So when he got up there, so he fell very far to catch the robber. So that was a shiloh, was that mutter? Because you're allowed to catch the thief, but to hurt him and to cause damage, so that is not something that we do, and that's not something that is permitted, certainly not in the spirit of the Torah. So we come halacha l'maisa to the question, so can you put out $5 to see if the cleaning help is going to take it, or the painter is going to take it, whoever it is. So just to make sure to test, you know, the first time you have someone coming to work for you, and you want to test to make sure they're trustworthy, not a good policy, not a good thing to do, not appropriate. I think in general, it's just, I don't know if it's just good midos, you know. If you're going to have someone to come work in your home, so you should be trustworthy. If you're going to bring the person to home in the first place, so you should have enough trust in them that at the first stage that they're going to do the right thing. If at a certain point an employee becomes in a situation where they perhaps are doing the wrong thing, you suspect them of doing the wrong thing, so yes, you're allowed to catch them and to set them up to fail, but just to test to see if someone is trustworthy seems to be not fair and could be a violation of the Yisr D'oraisa of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitein Michshol. Thank you.